Chapter 32. Min-ho woke Thomas before dawn, motioning with a flashlight to follow him back to the homestead. Thomas easily shook off his morning grogginess, excited to begin his training. He crawled out from under his blanket and eagerly followed his teacher, winding his way through the crowd of gladers who slept on the lawn, their snores the only sign they weren't dead. The slightest glow of early morning illuminated the glade, turning everything dark blue and shadowed. Thomas had never seen the place look so peaceful. A cock crowed in the bloodhouse. Finally, in a crooked cranny near a back corner of the homestead, Min-ho pulled out a key and opened up a shabby door leading to a small storage closet. Thomas felt a shiver of anticipation, wondering what was inside. He caught glimpses of ropes and chains and other odds and ends as Min-ho's flashlight crisscrossed the closet. Eventually, it fell on an open box full of running shoes. Thomas almost laughed. It seemed so ordinary.
"That right there's the number one supply we get," Min-ho announced. "At least for us. They send new ones in the box every so often. If we had bad shoes, we'd have feet that looked like freaking Mars."
He bent over and rummaged through the pile.
"What size do you wear?"
"Size?" Thomas thought for a second. "I don't know." It was so odd sometimes what he could and couldn't remember. He reached down and pulled off a shoe he'd worn since coming to the glade and took a look inside.
11. "Geez, Shank, you got big feet."
Min-ho stood up holding a pair of sleek silver ones.
"But looks like I've got some. Man, we could go canoeing in these things. Those are fancy."
Thomas took them and walked out of the closet to sit on the ground, eager to try them on. Min-ho grabbed a few more things before coming out to join him.
"Only runners and keepers get these," Min-ho said.
Before Thomas could look up from tying his shoes, a plastic wristwatch dropped into his lap. It was black and very simple, its face showing only a digital display of the time.
"Put it on and never take it off. Your life might depend on it."
Thomas was glad to have it. Though the sun and the shadows had seemed plenty to let him know roughly what time it was up to that point, being a runner probably required more precision. He buckled the watch onto his wrist and then returned to fitting on his shoes. Min-ho continued talking.
"Here's a backpack, water bottles, lunch pack, some shorts and t-shirts, other stuff."
He nudged Thomas, who looked up. Min-ho was holding out a couple of pairs of tightly cut underwear, made from a shiny white material.
"These bad boys are what we call runny undies. Keeps you, nice and comfy."
"Nice and comfy?"
"Yeah, you know, you're..."
"Yeah, got it." Thomas took the underwear and other stuff.
"You guys really have this all thought out, don't you? Couple of years running your butt off every day, you figure out what you need and ask for it."
He started stuffing things into his own backpack. Thomas was surprised.
"You mean you can make requests? Supplies you want?
Why would the people who'd sent them here help so much?"
"Of course we can. Just drop a note in the box and there she goes. Doesn't mean we always get what we want from the creators. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't."
"Ever ask for a map?"
Min-ho laughed. "Yeah, tried that one. Asked for a TV, too, but no luck. I guess those shuck faces don't want us seeing how wonderful life is when you don't live in a freaking maze."
Thomas felt a trickle of doubt that life was so great back home. What kind of world allowed people to make kids live like this? The thought surprised him, as if its source had been founded in actual memory, a wisp of light in the darkness of his mind. But it was already gone. Shaking his head, he finished lacing up his shoes, then stood up and jogged around in circles, jumping up and down to test them out.
"They feel pretty good. I guess I'm ready."
Min-ho was still crouched over his backpack on the ground. He glanced up at Thomas with a look of disgust.
"You look like an idiot prancing around like a shuck ballerina. Good luck out there with no breakfast, no packed lunch, no weapons."
Thomas had already stopped moving, felt an icy chill.
"Weapons?" "Weapons."
Min-ho stood and walked back to the closet.
"Come here, I'll show you." Thomas followed Minho into the small room and watched as he pulled a few boxes away from the back wall. Underneath lay a small trap door. Minho lifted it to reveal a set of wooden stairs leading into blackness.
"Keep 'em down in the basement so Shanks like Galley can't get to them. Come on."
Minho went first. The stairs creaked with every shift of weight as they descended the dozen or so steps. The cool air was refreshing, despite the dust and the strong scent of mildew. They hit a dirt floor, and Thomas couldn't see a thing until Minho turned on a single light bulb by pulling a string. The room was larger than Thomas had expected, at least 30 square feet. Shelves lined the walls, and there were several blocky wooden tables. Everything in sight was covered with all manner of junk that gave him the creeps. Wooden poles, metal spikes, large pieces of mesh, like what covers a chicken coop, rolls of barbed wire, saws, knives, swords. One entire wall was dedicated to archery. Wooden bows, arrows, spare strings. The sight of it immediately brought back the memory of Ben getting shot by Albie and the Deadheads.
"Wow,"
Thomas murmured, his voice a dull thump in the enclosed space. At first he was terrified that they needed so many weapons, but he was relieved to see that the vast majority of it was covered with a thick layer of dust.
"Don't use most of it," Minho said.
"But you never know. All we usually take with us is a couple of sharp knives." He nodded toward a large wooden trunk in the corner, its top open and leaning against the wall. Knives of all shapes and sizes were stacked haphazardly all the way to the top. Thomas just hoped the room was kept secret from most of the gladers.
"Seems kind of dangerous to have all this stuff," he said. "What if Ben had gotten down here right before he went nuts and attacked me?"
Minho pulled the keys out of his pocket and dangled them with a clickety-clank.
"Only a few lucky toads have a set of these."
"Still, quit your belly aching and pick a couple. Make sure they're nice and sharp. Then we'll go get breakfast and pack our lunch. I want to spend some time in the map room before we head out."
Thomas was pumped to hear that. He'd been curious about the squat building ever since he'd first seen a runner go through its menacing door. He selected a short silvery dagger with a rubbery grip, then one with a long black blade. His excitement waned a little. Even though he knew perfectly well what lived out there, he still didn't want to think about why he needed weapons to go into the maze.